Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Tomorrow, all eyes will be on the Vatican as 135 cardinals enter the Sistine Chapel to choose the next pope. Well, the stage is already being set for this historic event, but what can we expect from this crucial gathering? Well, for more on this, I'm joined from Rome by Miles Pattenden, who is a historian of the Catholic Church at Oxford University. Miles, thank you for being with us today. As I mentioned there, the stage is already being set and there are final security checks happening at the Sistine Chapel. Will you tell us a bit about the security measures that will be in place for the conclave?
Well, good morning, Claire. Yes, Rome is gradually being prepared for what's going to start tomorrow. But we can't see exactly what's being done in terms of preparing the Sistine Chapel, because obviously that's been closed now for several days to visitors so that it can be made ready. What we do know is that it's being swept for things like bugs and to make sure that the conclave secrecy is maintained intact. But obviously the Vatican don't tell us exactly what they're doing because that would undermine the exercise.
Mm-hmm. But it's a complete shutdown. They are hidden away from the world. There was a really interesting interview in the London Times this morning with the Cardinal of Westminster, Vincent Nichols, who's voting for the first time. And he expressed concerns around whether he'd know what time to get up in the morning because he doesn't have his phone with him, obviously, because there's no alarm on it. But he explained that for cardinals who are coming from outside the Vatican, they stay in Casa Santa Marta and they will be permitted to have conversations in the evening. So it's not a complete don't talk to your neighbour and friend situation for the couple of days.
No, it's not like the conclaves up to 1978, where when the cardinals went into the Sistine Chapel and its adjacent areas, they were locked in and they stayed there on their own until the Pope was elected. They even used to sleep there in little dormitory beds. Well, in the last two or three conclaves since 2005, they now go back to this guest house just on the other side of St. Peter's, and the whole thing is a more civilized affair. But of course, that does raise the security risks, and that's why, for instance, cardinals are deprived of their mobile phones, whether or not they have alarms. There is some attempt to make sure that they are as isolated as possible to retain the election's integrity.
Mm-hmm. And last week they had these general congregations where they had meetings and discussions. Now, do we expect that there's some campaigning that happens before the conclave?
Oh, I'm sure there's a great deal of campaigning that goes on before the conclave. But the first rule of that campaigning is that you mustn't ever tell anyone that you want to be Pope. So these things are always done through proxies, through discussion of the issues rather than of the candidates and so on. And there's certainly a lot of gossip circulating around Rome at the moment about which cardinals are up, which ones are down. I have no idea if any of it is true or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be that they're just toying with the media and with historians like me just to keep us on our toes. We just have to wait and see.
Well, give us the good gossip, Miles. Who's saying what about whom?
Well, obviously, I can't reveal my sources on this kind of stuff, partly because they may be completely wrong. But some of the latest talk has been about an American cardinal called Robert Prevost, who has the advantages of being a native English speaker, but also spent most of his life in Latin America and has some experience of the Curia. So he ticks a lot of boxes. And if only President Trump hadn't said that he wanted an American pope, he might really be a strong front runner, but we have to see.
Mm-hmm. You think that will count against him then?
I don't think that there's much popularity for President Trump in the College of Cardinals at the moment. And of course, it's been reflexively anti-American probably since the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So it would be a bit of a surprise to see an American pope. But the one thing that we learn from these conclaves over the centuries is to expect the unexpected.
And is there a battle now between those who are of the conservative ilk and those who are more progressive? Are you seeing that? Are you hearing about it?
Well, I think the cardinals themselves wouldn't want us to call it a battle, but there's certainly disagreement between them, as there has been throughout Francis's pontificate and indeed Benedict's before that. And there are factions that are lining up, eager to press their policies and to try and get a pope who will be amenable to them, or at least not antithetical to them. There is a sense in which, of course, this conclave is a referendum on Francis, as every conclave is sort of a referendum on the previous pope. Do the cardinals want to carry on with his the direction he was taking the church at the same speed or faster, or maybe even move things backwards? And a lot of conservative cardinals are now saying, well, you know, actually, we need a pause after a relatively progressive pope. We need someone in a different mould. Someone who can just sort of take stock of where the church is at and possibly think about the things that may have gone wrong in the last 12 years. So those are the ideas which are being floated, and then they try and map them onto particular candidates.
So the voting then itself, the person who emerges as Pope will need a two-thirds majority. So as each vote happens, are the results announced to the cardinals in the room?
Yes, they're announced to the cardinals in the room, but not to the rest of us. The only thing we get to see is a smoke signal that comes out of the Sistine Chapel, black if there's no result, white if there is a result. And the cardinals keep voting until someone gets that two-thirds majority. Now, there's a new and slightly complicated timetable for the votes, which has been in place since the time of John Paul II. But essentially, it means that the whole thing is likely to be wrapped up in a week now. We won't see the 6 month or 2 year conclaves that sometimes they had in centuries past. But in theory, it could go on forever because, you know, until they can get someone to agree to get a majority of the votes, there is no pope.
Well, let's go back to, you mentioned some of the longer ones over the years. They've been quite short in recent times, but we do have letters, diaries, other writings from cardinals from back over many years ago, revealing accounts of what happened. Will you take us through some of the more interesting stories, Miles, that have emerged from conclaves past?
Yes, one of the great ironies of this process is it must be one of the few things in the modern world where we actually know more about how it worked and happened 500 years ago than we do today. That, you know, in that time, the conclave secrecy was pretty much nominal. So there were almost every Catholic prince and state had agents and ambassadors on the inside. They used to write letters back to Madrid, Paris, Vienna, and so on. So we know a lot about the voting, and we also know a lot about the politics. And yes, sometimes that could get very heated. There's one incident in 1605 when the cardinals got into a fist fight with each other. There's another one I like from 1655, which was one of those really long conclaves where some of the younger cardinals got bored and started playing practical jokes on older members of the conclave. One of them dressed up as the Holy Ghost, for instance, in the middle of the night.
Was that the one that had fatal consequences?
No, that wasn't that one. Although, you know, it is worth emphasising in these conclaves from centuries past, it was actually a pretty arduous and difficult thing to undergo for a lot of cardinals who were elderly men, and they were confined in this area of the Vatican for weeks or even months at a time. It was very difficult and unpleasant. And not all of them made it through.
Mm-hmm. But you are expecting this one to be quick. I mean, you said earlier a little, you know, around the week mark. But it has only taken 2 days for the past two elections of Pope for the victor to emerge.
Yeah, we'd expect it, you know, based on recent precedent, to last about 3 days. Because most, you know, no conclave since the 1830s has gone on for more than 5 days. Now, under the current voting, they get 9 ballots in those first 3 days. And recently, 9 has been easily enough to resolve the issue. If they can't resolve it in 9, then it will probably go, the fourth day is rest day, and then it will go on to the fifth day where they have another 14 ballots. And if they haven't resolved it, then many Catholics might start to panic.
Right. So we have, is it one vote on the first day tomorrow?
It is just one symbolic vote tomorrow, but then there'll be 8 votes on Thursday. So Thursday is a likely day to see, sorry, there'll be 4 votes on Thursday. That's a likely day to see a Pope, and 4 on Friday as well.
Right. So the expectation is that the members of the conclave will hear the results of the ballots as they go along, realise which way the wind is blowing, and pick their candidates as a result.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And certainly in the past, you didn't want to be a cardinal who failed to vote for the man who became Pope, because that was very bad for your position politically within the church.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. So you want to be on the winning side. So once you see someone coming up through the ranks, you might just decide to opt for him.
That's exactly how politics works everywhere in the dial or here in Rome.
Miles, thank you so much. Miles Pattenden there, who's a historian of the Catholic Church at Oxford, joining us from Rome. And we will be reporting extensively on the conclave when it gets underway from tomorrow. Now, coming up next, Irish prison officers currently carry no defensive weapons in our overcrowded prisons. But could this new plan to allow them to use pepper spray backfire and actually increase violence? We'll discuss after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.